This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been online now for more than a decade, writing about the digital signage industry and filtering all the BS. Now 16.9 is also a podcast, a chance to talk to smart people doing interesting things in this business. You can listen to episodes online, grab it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to grab the RSS feed. 16.9 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. Hughes is one of those big billion-dollar tech companies that have found their way into digital signage in recent years. Most of these companies come in making a lot of noise and they exit pretty quietly. But Hughes has stuck around. This week I'm chatting with Mike Tippetts, who runs the digital signage and video learning business units for Hughes. Working out of Utah, but he's pretty tightly tied to the Hughes mothership outside of Washington, D.C. We have a good chat about a bunch of things, from the roots of the company as Helios, what Mike and his team learned about big growth areas like corporate communications, and how Hughes goes to market as much more than just satellite guys with some software. Mike, thank you. Maybe start by talking about your parent company, Hughes. I would imagine a lot of people have heard of Hughes, but maybe give the 5,000 foot overview of what it is and how your company plugs into that or business unit.
Sure, absolutely. And that's exactly right. We are a business unit of Hughes. We're the digital media division, primarily focused on enterprise applications that utilize video. So we have a very active digital signage practice, as you know. We also have a very active training and learning employee communication side. And it's interesting, we can touch on this as we chat. There is a bit of an overlap between employee communication and digital signage, but we are a business unit of the Hughes Corporation. And, you know, we always like to throw in there, we're the last remaining leaf on what was the Howard Hughes Empire. So we can trace a genealogy all the way back to through Hughes Aircraft to the Howard Hughes Empire. Mm-hmm. But we as Hughes are, in fact, a subsidiary of the EchoStar Corporation. EchoStar is a publicly traded technology company, most well known for being the technology provider to Dish. Dish is a separate, also publicly traded company, but EchoStar initiated as the technology provider to Dish, and they have since expanded out into a number of different areas, you know, including over the top television services and things like that. But they are the parent company of Hughes.
Okay. And for people who are listening to this from overseas, Dish is basically satellite TV.
That's right, direct-to-home satellite TV.
Okay. And and the learning side of the business, that runs hand-in-hand with the digital side of the business? Same people, same office, everything else?
That's correct. Okay. Yes, that's correct. We're finding a significant amount of overlap because, again, if you boil it down, digital signage and then the things that we're doing for training and communication, it all goes all the way down to being video. Now, what you're doing with it, how you're scheduling it and managing it and tracking it and reporting on it start to separate as you move up the stack. But at the core, from our perspective especially, it's video.
Okay. So there are a number of large companies that have come into the digital signage space, you know, multi-billion dollar companies, and they've created business units. And I would say in certain respects, dabbled in digital signage, but most of them have never really gone anywhere. But this is a bit different, or a lot different. You guys have been around for a long time, and this is not just a skunkworks operation for Hughes.
No, that's a very interesting point. We've been actively in the digital signage business since about 2003-2004. We've been doing enterprise video for probably 10 or 15 years longer than that. But if you talk in terms of digital signage that we know today, the idea of LEDs, LCDs, you know, communicating, hanging in different locations to share information, we've been actively in that business since the very early 2000s, coming all the way through to today. We've been through the early excitement phases. We've been through the kind of lean years. We've been through the look, it's a bunch of science projects, to, you know, where we've been arguably probably over the last 2 or 3 years, where people are really, you know, sitting down saying, we have to do something here. And, you know, whether that's for digital menu boards, you know, or any other kind of signage solutions, you know, the projects are no longer, well, let's just go see how much it'll cost. And we've been there the whole time. It's really been great. The Hughes executive leadership has been very, very supportive of this division and these products, knowing that sometimes you get into these businesses and you have to go in for the long haul. You'll have good years, you'll have lean years, and if you do it properly, you'll grow into where you have a steady stream and growing business. And we're very excited because we've really felt over the last year and a half, 2 years, we've turned that corner. The market itself has, and we're obviously extremely excited about that, but ourselves as well, the products have matured, customers are, you know, getting very used to it. We're establishing, if you will, a book of customers. So when somebody asks you that, you know, early on question, well, who is using your stuff? You know, we've got references and people that can talk to it, and they're established. They're not, you know, yeah, we started with Hughes last week. There are people who have been working with us for 3, 4, 5 years.
Okay, so who's using your stuff?
Well, one of the areas that we're most excited about is a break room TV product that we're doing with the Kohl's department store chain.
Okay.
They are very, very committed to their employees and to creating a, you know, you might say a culture or a lifestyle, and communicating with them at the store level is very, very important. They've even gone so far as to get, we've got the product to where local store managers can contribute information that goes on the screen and do different things. But they're probably the customer that when we talk about digital signage, you know, always comes to the mouth first.
And what are they doing that is really having an impact, back of house, so to speak?
They are putting information in front of their employees in a location where the employee is going to be receptive to messages. You can use any kind of an example where we're kind of stuck. Airplanes, trains, buses, you know, waiting rooms, what have you. If you're somewhere where you're kind of going to spend some time, you're very, very open to messaging and information. Now, we happen to work with Kohl's, and we built a solution that lets them play their subscription television service on the screen, and then the messages, you know, wrap around that. And so you kind of got a double benefit there. The employee is going to be in that break room for a period of time. You know, 15-minute morning break, half hour, 45-minute lunch break, you know, afternoon, evening breaks, these kind of things. But the thing that they're doing, and they're very smart, they recognize that this is the break room. So they're not trying to train their employees with this messaging. Mm-hmm. You know, that would technically, you know, you could argue that would be inappropriate because they're usually off the clock on their break. So you can't be saying, hey, while you're sitting here off the clock, let me fill your head full of information I expect you to retain. No, that's training, and that's a different time and activity. But while you're sitting here, let me show you some of the commercials, some of the programs, some of the things that we're doing so that you're aware of them. And, you know, if a customer comes in and says, hey, you know, I understand that Kohl's is actively participating in breast cancer awareness or Habitat for Humanity or something, the employees are like, yes. In fact, you know, last week we did this project or that project. And that goes on to also build a sense of pride and commitment to the organization.
Okay, so it's the difference between trying to force product knowledge on them, almost waterboarding them with product knowledge, versus kind of passive learning where they're going to pick stuff up without really even kind of feeling like, okay, I'm on my break and you're still jackhammering stuff at me.
Yeah, but again, seriously, they don't, you know, they're not saying, hey, this is this week's flyer, you know, note the prices of these information and this yeah. information. It's really more lifestyle type information. Mm-hmm. Now, they've initiated a project where they have a particular hashtag, and if the employees post something on social media with that hashtag, there's a system out there that'll pick it up, and then it gets shared on the screens across the corporation. And they initiated that program a while ago, and it was getting average participation. People every once in a while would pop something, but when they added it to the break room TV screen, participation went up, I want to say like 400 or 500%. Hmm. It's all of a sudden, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, it, you know, me, myself and my colleagues are going to see this pop up on the screen, you know, and it's great stuff. It's, you know, yesterday we celebrated Don, Dave, Tom, and Mary's birthdays this month. And there's a couple of pictures and they, you know, they write something nice and post it. And it becomes a very cultural thing. And it's, you know, I guess silly or whatever this may sound, it's not uncommon to see a posting go up on there that says, waiting to see my hashtag post appear. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they'll post it and then sit back and wait for it. But in all candor, when that happens, the employee realizes this truly is a live system, and away they go.
Yeah. So you said in the last 2-3 years, company started to feel some momentum around signage. Things really picked up. What do you think happened?
Well, you know, if I go back to the 2015 Digital Signage Expo, that was the first time that I recall, and I believe I have participated in every one of them since they were founded, again, back in the early 2002-03, somewhere back there. But that was the first time I ever heard people come and talk about employee back of house facing communication. It had always been, you know, hey, I'm going to put screens in retail. And then over time, it became digital menu boards and, you know, wayfinding and different things. But in 2015, I heard that. Now, all of the growth in digital signage is not because they're starting to talk to back of house. But I think people started doing some ROI math and recognized that HR communication to the employees has a very quick and relatively straightforward ROI to prove. Mm-hmm. And I think you started to see people get very excited about that, get very, very involved in that. And again, maybe because of our particular participation in that arena, that was very, very obvious to me, where some of the other companies that are doing digital signage solutions, they may not have seen that particular lamp come on. But I also believe, and if you are in the industry like we are, you know, as you drive around, whether you're, you know, out on the road traveling or you're around your hometown, you notice, wow, look, that place is using digital menu boards now, or, oh my gosh, look at this airport. Every restaurant in here has digital menu boards, or, you know, we're a little bit sensitized to it. And I've just noticed over the last 2.5 years, it's just going crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of flipped around. You know, for a lot of years, you'd kind of go into some sort of a retail environment and look around and go, oh, there's, you know, somebody's using digital screens over there. Now it's kind of like you walk into an area and you notice the ones who aren't doing it.
Yeah.
Which is a good moment.
It's a great moment if you're in this business. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the other thing that I have heard more than once from prospects, customers, people that I'm working with, they'll say quietly, I have to do this because my competitor is, and I can't afford to look old. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, you could start getting into the discussion deeper and go, well, yes, we want to approach millennials and we need to do this and that and the other. But it's a much higher level thing than that. It's, hey, if I walk into, you know, one oil and lube place and the screen on the wall and they're telling me about their services is video based and it's showing me what it looks like to have the headlamp service done versus, you know, an old tire tack board that just has headlamp service X dollars, you know, there's a huge difference. Doctor's office, dentist's office, places where there are waiting rooms, you know, with the big push to be proactive in your healthcare. These are places that you're already, the patron is already sensitive to that particular topic. Why not provide them information? Whether it's to, you know, whether it's to ring the cash register where you are or simply to improve the customer experience, either one of them, I think, are fantastic drivers, and both are driving the business.
Right. So this business unit came into Hughes through acquisition, correct? Through Helios?
That's correct.
How did all that shake out?
Well, it's interesting. back in 2006 and 2007, Helius and Hughes got together to do a couple of projects. One of them happened to have been a training and learning system for Safeway Corporation, which is actually now part of the Albertsons family of stores. But we got together and we did a project, and then a couple of Hughes leaders, myself and a couple of the Helius team leads, we started talking about, you know, options and ideas. And after some successes with Safeway and some other places, it was determined that together we'd be stronger than, you know, just as collaborators, or, you know, just having us be something that Hughes could offer if the customer asked about it. And so we were venture capital backed, Helius, obviously. So the venture fund behind us was always open to the right offer and the right opportunity to exit. And Hughes made that happen.
And what was, for people who don't know, what was Helius at that point? You were digital science software, but you were kind of satellite centric, right?
Yeah, well, Helius was founded in 1995 by a couple of engineers at Novell, who realized that they could optimize IP and IPX, which was the old Novell protocol, over satellite, and that there was an opportunity for people to network into places. Now, remember, we're talking about 1995, where there wasn't really good network connectivity. You know, today in the world, we know, you know, that there's still several million homes in the United States that don't live somewhere where they can get your traditional broadband, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's DSL, cable, fiber, you know, whatever. But back in 1995, there were millions of businesses that could not get that. And so these two guys said, we're going to step out and really enhance this idea. Novell gave them the green light. Novell said, listen, we're not interested in pursuing that, but we wish you all the best. And they went and they got some funding. And they started a company. They realized very quickly that the business that was being done at that time over satellite had a lot to do with video, you know, for a number of obvious reasons, you know, back in that time. But so they focused on video over IP, video over IPX, and the IPX stuff dropped off after the first couple of 3 years because everybody was standardizing on IP. And so they spent a lot of time saying, okay, we're going to create, you know, a head-end system that lets you schedule, plan, deliver video content, both live, live streaming, which at the time, everybody just used DVB, you know, it was just standardized broadcast video. But these guys said, hey, listen, we're going to move this onto IP because then you can encrypt it, you can schedule it, you can prevent it from being viewed at certain times in certain places. Oh, and then, oh, by the way, we can also open up a whole video on demand concept where we're pushing out content. And in all candor, the Helius product line back, you know, this is at the turn of the century, around 2000, 2001, it was TiVo for business. At a time when TiVo was either kind of just coming into, you know, play, or was very early in its time. So, and then we've continued that particular product, that piece has matured over the years, and today is a cornerstone of some of the stuff that we do. The Hughes corporate DVR, we call it, is, you know, the 10th generation of what Helius started building back, you know, in 95, 96, 97. Now, like a lot of people, in 2003 and 4, there was a new group, I was part of it, a new group of leadership that came into Helius to work with the engineering talent that had been there for a few years. And we sat down and we had heard about this, you know, digital signage stuff that was really starting to have some legs and some activity and conversation. And we sat with the engineers and said, distributing video, whether it is for an employee to watch and learn, or for a retail customer to watch and be influenced, same concept. And so what is today the Hughes digital signage product line came to be, you know, back then.
There's a bunch of costs involved in putting this podcast together, so I'm very grateful for the support this podcast will get from our new and sole sponsor, ScreenFeed. Here's founder and CEO, Jeremy Gavin.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. As content people, we love great content, and we think Dave's doing a great job with this 69 podcast, which is why we've offered to sponsor it. If you'd like to see the content that we create on a daily basis, head over to screenfeed.com and check it out. Let us know if we can help you in any project you're working on. And do me a favor, if you don't find what you're looking for, shoot me an email at jeremy@screenfeed.com. I'm always interested in new ways we can help. Now, back to the podcast.
And was it when you were acquired by Hughes, was it a big cultural shift to go from, I don't know how big Hughes was, I'm guessing 30, 40, 50 people, to this monster?
That's a fun question. And since you're recording this,
you'll answer it carefully.
Yes, it is. No, it it's always going to be somewhat different, right? You're a small, nimble, but small organization, and then you're suddenly part of a several thousand employee organization. But I'll say this: we were able to do it in a way where we kind of migrated our way into. So it wasn't ink on paper and now today here's your Hughes business card and here's your Hughes employee manual. For the first couple of years, we actually operated as a wholly owned subsidiary. Mm-hmm. So we got lots of benefits of being associated with a large company, but we were able to continue doing what we thought was right and why they bought us, right? We were pursuing the deals and doing some things. There were multiple times where we would have an opportunity, but in order to pursue it, we needed to finance some inventory or finance some, advanced buys and things like that. That Hughes took care of it, no problem, being the size and having the balance sheet that they had. And that helped Helios, grow. Mm-hmm. Over time, the market was shifting. There was some maturity going on. Some unification was happening in the market. And it was decided that really our story would now be stronger if we said we are Hughes, a billion-dollar company providing you your digital signage solution, rather than we are Helios, a so many million-dollar subsidiary of Hughes. And so we became part of Hughes in 2008. We became a product division in 2010.
Okay.
So, that's worked well. And I'll say this in all seriousness, the Hughes leadership team recognized that a small 35, 40 person company, in Utah becoming part of a 2,000 person company in Germantown, Maryland, there's going to be cultural and differences because small versus big, because of East versus West and that and the other. And they worked very hard to make sure that as many of those transitions and things could be smooth as was possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about being part of a company that's got a billion-dollar-plus balance sheet. I suspect is very, very helpful in terms of business prospecting and when end users of a given size start to do their due diligence, they are much more comforted by a company with that kind of balance sheet than a company that is literally 25, 30 people, wherever they are. And you have to wonder, are they going to be around in 2 years?
I completely agree. And I would say this, I think there's two things that can give comfort. The first is exactly what you just said, and that is, okay, they're part of a billion-dollar company. We know the company's not going to turn the lights off tomorrow and exit. But secondly, we can now point to 13, almost 14 years of we've been in this business for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, there's very few digital signage companies who can say we've been in the digital signage business nonstop for 14 plus years. There are some billion-dollar companies out there who jump in and jump out, and this year it's a big focus, then it's kind of off the radar for a couple of years, opportunistic. Mm-hmm. But we're in it, we're in it and we're staying in it and have been in it for quite some time.
Do you have to fight some perception on the flip side that, you're Hughes and therefore you're satellite and I don't want to do this by satellite?
Oh, absolutely. I frequently tell my management I kind of have to deal with three things. First and foremost, Hughes who, okay? People, if you're not in the networking business, enterprise IT and a few things, there's a strong possibility you won't know the name very well. Uh-huh. The second thing that I deal with is, oh, okay, then it has to go over satellite, what you just said, because people who do know Hughes most likely have seen our satellite internet consumer access business commercials. And then the third will be somebody who's even that much more familiar with Hughes, and they know that Hughes not only does satellite networking, but they also do managed enterprise broadband networks as well, and they assume that it has to be on a Hughes network. And, you know, that's not true either. We have a number of customers where we do not provide the network infrastructure. And, you know, people ask me, what networking do you have to have? I just need an IP network, preferably with, you know, a reasonable amount of bandwidth. But, you know, our systems and solutions are designed that if you say, look, Mike, you get a megabit of throughput between 11 p.m. and 4 a.m., you know, make it work, our systems will do that. You know, so we don't have to have multicast. We don't have to have large pipes. We don't have to be on a huge proprietary network. But some of those things, you know, have their benefits and so forth. But again, I just need an IP network and away we go.
Yeah, and I guess on the flip side, if you have a large enterprise level network that's in a lot of major centers, but it's also going to be at a travel center somewhere in New Mexico, you can actually do all that without having to mix and match or find vendors to do stuff. You can do terrestrial and you can do satellite out of one office, right?
That's correct. That's great. In fact, that's one of the pitches that we'll make. You know, if the customer comes to us as a digital media customer, whether it's digital signage or training and learning, we'll ask them, you know, are you planning to run this on your existing wide area network? And if they say yes and all that, we just go to work with them. And if they say, well, we're not sure, then of course we can jump in and show them some solutions and some things there. But that's, you know, part and parcel to our enterprise networking business is we just say to the customer, you tell me, here's my 1,000 sites. I need a minimum of X and a maximum of Y bandwidth into every location. And I only want to have to call one number if any one of those sites, you know, from Miami to San Diego to Seattle to Boston, I don't care what, you know, cable provider or whoever we're using there. That's what Hughes does. And so that, and if they were doing something like that, and then we add in the digital media, it's just one more thing where they only have one place to call.
Right. You guys haven't been the noisiest kids on the block, and certainly in recent years. You're at the trade shows and so on, but there are certain companies that are very aggressive marketers, and there's other ones who are fairly quiet. But I get a sense that things have changed a little bit in the last, let's say, year and a half.
Well, you've met one of the big changes. You know, I hired Curtis to be part of our marketing organization, and there's nothing quiet about him. But for many years we were the quiet company. I don't want to steal an old financial company's tagline, but we were focused on organizations that we knew. You know, being part of Hughes, there's a lot of organizations out there that we were already providing some form of service to. And we were working with them and we were growing our business and, you know, people who heard about us and came to us. And it allowed us to manage our growth and manage what we were doing. Would I love to have had 1,500 customer deals and everything else? Of course, there's no question. But honestly, as you grow and mature any kind of a software product line, you can certainly get out ahead of yourself if you overmarket or if you, you know, overcommit and get into too many opportunities. You're not doing any of them well, and you're barely able to keep up, let alone learn and mature through the process. So I think, in all fairness, I think you'll see us get real noisy over the next little while. We've also been talking to, you know, lots of people, yourself included, to say, you know, why are we not as well known as, you know, somebody else? It's certainly not from a lack of interest, desire, or even at times budget. It's not like, you know, we didn't have the budget to do things. And we're learning some things that we can do that are smart dollars and smart activities spent. And, you know, Hughes, we are a mature organization. We're not guessing or placing, you know, waggle bets on, yeah, we think this can go, so let's drop $20 million into it and see where it goes. The budgeting and spending processes inside of our company are tremendous, and they allow us to be smart. You know, if you make a proper business case, you can get proper investment, you can go, and you can grow. But, you know, you better be prepared to live up to the promises and the commitments that you made. And so some might argue that that has kept us at a slower pace of growth. I would counter that by saying that's why, even though in 7, 8, and 9, when the industry got really quiet and really lean, mm-hmm. we didn't exit. We stayed. We continued to service the customers we had, and we continued to pursue the product, grow the product, and develop, you know, into what we now have today.
So, if I walked up to your booth at DSE or something like that, and said, "Okay, what is it about you guys versus all the other companies that are, hollering at me the last couple of days?"
Yeah, really, visually as well as audio, right?
Uh-huh.
No, this is the first thing that we always point out. Is we wrap a significant number of services, potentially. We don't require them, but when you do a digital signage project, especially if you are a distributed organization, okay, so I have 100 locations or I have 1,000 locations, somebody needs to install it, somebody needs to service it. And a lot of organizations will say, well, yes, I have techs who go out and take care of our cash registers and they take care of our PCs on site and everything. We'll just have them do it. I think in the coming years, that'll become a little bit more of a realistic expectation. But in our history, what we have found is those individuals do not quite get what it takes to service and deal with a video-based solution like digital signage. So I have that. I don't have to go hire it. I don't have to go, find these people. They're already doing work for us in a number of areas. So installation and field maintenance, these are the categories we use. Another area, because of our size and financial strength, we are able to offer financing packages. Again, we don't just do that randomly. There's a definite credit approval process and things. But if an organization wants to, go zero down or little down and also treat this as an operational expense rather than a capital expense, we're able to work with them on that. We have programs and things already in place, and it's not a stretch. It's not a hopefully we can survive if we're only getting a little bit of your money right now, not all of the money right now. So we're able to do that. Obviously, I point out, if you pick a number, however many players there are in the digital signage space, there are a handful who have, billion-dollar balance sheets and will not exit the business just because we've had two lean quarters. So we're in it. We've got a lot of stability there. We've got a good R&D program. I think there's multiple companies in this space that have good R&D. I think ours, we try to keep our R&D focused on what I call the 80%. That's the features and functions that 80% of the market is in fact going to use. When we get into bake-offs and when we get into competition for digital signage deals, a lot of times there will be competitors going, oh, but look, we have this, very, very unusual, cool, sizzle factor feature. I don't go chasing those. Would I like to? Sure. But I stay focused on what I think the typical organization, when they get right down to it and they're ready to pay for it, what they're going to need to be successful.
Do you think the end user has matured where they are less excited and swayed by sizzle, by eye candy, and they understand that, no, what you really need is something that's going to be stable?
I think some. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's funny. If you're in a trade show environment, it's kind of hard not to be, excited by some of the, wow and the cool. I mean, what was it, David? Was it 2014 or 15 when, Google landed at DSE and the whole world thought we'd all be running signage on Chrome boxes within the next 6 to 10 months?
Yeah, 2015.
It was 2015, right? And, that's moving along. We're actually doing some things with Chrome-based devices and stuff. So it's actually real and everything. But, it was the sizzle factor there at the 2015 Expo. And so, a few years back, I want to say it was probably in 11 or 12, we had in our booth this whole – two-way, you know, talk to an expert digital signage. You'd walk up to it and you'd tap call, and all of a sudden now you're talking to a tech support operator, you know, somewhere in a call center, and it was so cool, and it was video and visual. And we thought for certain that, you know, the pharmaceutical market, or the pharmacy, pardon me, pharmacy market was going to line up at our door. But they just said, you know, that is really neat, but we can't afford it.
Yeah.
And we don't have the infrastructure ready for it, candidly, right now anyway. I do think at some point that kind of stuff's going to come back around and so forth. So I do think that you get enamored, people get enamored at the first, but, you know, I think it's really cool to go to the, you know, BMW dealership, but when it's time to buy, you'll probably find me at the Chevy dealership. So.
So last question, what do you see for the future of Hughes in the next year, year and a half, and for the industry at large?
Well, for Hughes, we are going to be very, very active and focused on communication, employee communication, certainly. We're having great success there. We've got good customers and so forth. But we're really going to be looking at digital signage services and solutions that fill a very specific need. And, you know, we're really, for example, this break room TV is one, but digital menu boards, that's one, because it's very, very, you know, it's a very focused thing. It's not something that you're going to say, I'm doing this to up my cash register rings. We hope it impacts the cash register, but honestly, I'm looking at it and I'm doing it for a number of other reasons. Makes it quick to change. It makes it easier to do promotions and things like that. And, you know, and it's a very focused service. And we're going to be getting in and working in and around that. Lobbies, you know, we're going to be very focused on working with people who have lobbies. We've had some good success there with the Social Security Administration and others where we have signage in the lobbies. In the industry, I think that we're going to continue to see great strides forward in the hardware that drives us. When we were Helios, before we became part of Hughes, we actually did sit down with a couple of screen manufacturers at, when they were first trying to put PC boards into the screens. And we actually, you know, jumped on and gave it a stir, and we found out that it just was nowhere near ready at the time. I am encouraged by some of what I'm seeing coming out of some of the top screen manufacturers right now, and the idea that digital signage is going to become a smart app that goes on my smart television. I think we're going to see that coming to bear, and probably not in 17, but certainly in early 18, going into 18, you might start to see some real significant movement there. I know there's a couple of companies out there who have deployed, you know, with apps on smart TV. So it's not like it hasn't happened, but as far as the mainstream behavior, I think that's probably coming around the corner, and it's probably in the 12 to 18 month range. I'll tell you what I don't get all spun up about. I don't think digital signage needs to be 4K. Do I have a digital signage player that'll do 4K video? You bet I do. But if anybody asked my opinion, I would tell them, save your money and get four screens, get some professional service done to get a real custom experience. Don't spend your money on 4K for signage. Even if you're a movie theater playing trailers out in the lobby, they just don't need to be 4K right now.
Yeah, and very few people understand the ramifications of going with 4K.
Yeah, yeah. Now you got to ask me one more question, because we don't want to end on me saying something negative. I do. I'll be honest. I love this industry. I think there's a lot of excitement. And back to your other question about maturity of the buyers and stuff. I do think there's some there. I think that their organizations are sending them to trade shows like DSE and others with a specific project. We want to put screens in our lobbies. We want to focus on the XYZ department in our stores, and we feel digital makes a difference there. We do want to have a digital footprint in the stores. And so please go to this, you know, and understand we're looking to do this at 1,000 locations, you know, and this is our goals and our targets, and come back with recommendations rather than just, yeah, here, you know, here's a ticket to Vegas, go have a good weekend and see the shiny screens and pretty pictures.
Yeah. Tell us all about it when you get back.
Yeah, write a report.
Yeah. All right, Mike, thanks very much.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and that you learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net every day. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are both properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.